All right, folks, sit back, relax, get your favorite libation, your favorite snack. The Geocaching Podcast is coming at you right about now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 496, recorded live on May 17th, 2017. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat with
Taz427 and
Info Pirate.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our Patreon logo or PayPal on our website to help keep our podcast going. From all of us on the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. Well, Chad, I think somebody pushed the summer button because you were mentioned 90s last week in California. We're back there too. The only thing that tells me is a little bit different is we still have wind, so it's still that late spring. It's not officially summer until there's absolutely no wind and 90%+ humidity.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that humidity. I haven't had that humidity in a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I get cold winter humidity out here, and that's right. The only time you get humidity, which, it's I don't know. I don't like that any better than I like the hot humidity. But I haven't had any of that in quite a while.
Yeah, if people are wondering what we're actually talking about, it's basically when you walk outside your business, your office, your home, and it's like being wrapped in a warm, wet blanket. It's the best way to put it. It surrounds
instant
you.
Steam of sweat.
Yes, and you just.
So you're living in a sauna.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. And there are people down here that absolutely love it. Me being from the north, not so much. But I have been acclimated since I've been here for almost 9 years now. So, yeah, it's.
Well, my wife complained about coming out here because it's too dry and she's going to get wrinkles. So the humidity helps with that.
It's definitely wooden Indian for out that way. Not quite the same here.
It's like, but, honey, you officially have an AARP card now.
There you go. It's gonna happen one way or the other.
Well, I can send you some rain if you want.
We've
fair drenching today. Oh, yeah. I make you these kind offers and you turn them down. I don't know.
No. You see, I always envisioned New Zealand with the perfect everything, and it's gorgeous and wonderful. And now I just think about the earthquakes and hurricanes and the bad weather, and it's like, you know what?
And California is completely officially out of drought, so no thank you with the rain.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we're still trying
call me in a year.
Yeah.
I'll hold you for that.
Yeah, because here we're still trying to get rid of the extra moisture from the last hurricane that went through, and now we're starting up in another couple of weeks for the new hurricane season. So, all part of the fun. Yep. Let's see. Not too much geocaching this week, but I am planning on going tomorrow afternoon. It's like, for crying out loud, I got to get some stuff done. But it's, life gets in the way, and sometimes you just want to get out as much as you can and can't. I am going tomorrow. If I can go out and get a handful of them, because I'm going to have to drive anyways. There's nothing close. I got to at least drive 10, 15 miles someplace to get geocaches and just pick up a handful of them. I am going to be happy because I have been itching to go out.
I know that feeling.
Taz, how about yourself?
I went out this weekend. Had to drive somewhere to pick up some paint, and I decided, okay, I'm going to get some caches along the way. And I picked out five caches. One of them was a puzzle, and two multis. And I got the information for the multis. I couldn't and got to the finals. Couldn't find the friggin' finals. Couldn't find the final of the puzzle. So only the two traditionals that I went for did I find. Two finds and three DNFs. And I was like,
one of those days.
One of those days. And I need to get 11 more before next Wednesday.
Right.
Or by next Wednesday, because I want 2,500 to be Lake Lanier.
Oh, very cool.
Sounds good. So what sort of area were you out caching in?
It's pretty urban. So, yeah, down a business stretch. So pulling into parking lots and digging through someone's bushes out in front of their business, you know, nice friendly stuff.
We're playing with the river rocks, huh?
No river rocks this time. Oh, one of them was on a billboard that runs beside the freeway, where the road that road kind of gets really close to the freeway, so that billboard is there, and it's pretty low, and it's a magnetic, and there's a lot of friggin' iron on that thing to look for a magnetic or whatever it was.
Yeah. I bet.
And it hasn't been found in a couple of years. Well, that's another thing. None of the multis or the puzzle had been found in a couple of years. So it's is it still here?
Yeah, you always take a chance with something like that.
Yeah, sure enough. So what were we up to? Well, I was going on last week about the city safari, and the weather gods were nice to us. It was a nice sunny day, a little bit overcast at times, but perfect weather to be out and about. And Team Croak and Stagger had a blast. We ended up, my Fitbit reckons that I walked about 19 kilometers, which is to you lots, a bit over 12 miles. And the team came 62nd overall, but 12th in the veterans, that's the over 40s category, which isn't too bad. The rest of the family did even better. My other half, and despite tweaking his calf muscle, came second in the veterans category. And Simon and the 21-year-old and the 12-year-old took out the older families category and came second overall.
Wow, that's great. And,
but they looked absolutely wrecked by the end. I could still just about walk, but I did manage to grab two caches on the way. Well, when a checkpoint is probably 30 foot from where the cache is that you haven't found, I mean, come on, it would be rude not to, wouldn't it?
Right. Never mind all the muggles standing around.
Oh yeah, what the heck?
They were too busy focusing on their own things.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Two of the three of us are raring to go and do it again next year. I haven't heard from the other guy.
No, that's great. It really is.
Has to forget about the pain and soreness for a couple of weeks before you can get back into it.
Yeah, but at least you earned your stripes, so that's good.
Yeah, that was good. It was good fun. I'm just trying to decide, do I do a numbers run at the weekend, or does common sense and finally tackling the overgrown garden prevail?
Wow. Yeah, I just noticed Memphis Mafia just mentioned, we were talking weather just a moment ago, and Memphis Mafia mentioned in the chat room, it's raining there now. They're getting 12 inches of snow on Friday.
Wow.
Oh, so that's Colorado there. And I noticed my brother up in Michigan today, it was like 38 degrees there. So yeah, it's still crazy here. That's why they have problems with the tornadoes and all that stuff going on with the spring weather, because it's nuts. Yeah. All right, anyways, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community and what's coming up this week on Geo Gearheads. It's episode 281, GPS Tech 2, where Limax helps them to understand global positioning system and how it works. And so they bring out your science hats And you get to figure out how satellites work and go from there. But, yeah, awesome stuff. Where would we be now without the GPS system? I mean, that affects everything.
Pulling out maps.
Yeah, do you remember the old days where if you wanted to find a street on a map, you had to find a letter number combination to and search it
through? That's called orienteering. some of us are still used to paper from time to time.
Yes.
Hey, I still have a paper map in my car because if the GPS fails,
yes,
paper map won't.
Do they even sell those in gasoline stations anymore?
You know, I don't know.
Not like it used to. Before, you used to have county maps and, you know, the state breakdown and all the rest of the fun stuff. And now I don't know. I bet people are hard-pressed to even find those. Wow.
I bought one from a trip that I had out here years ago, and I still have it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And think of all the roads that have changed since then.
Oh, yeah. If I'm doing a road trip, what I'm thinking about doing on Sunday, if I do it, is I've got a couple of friends I go out to the wire wrapper and cache with. And there's one particular road with about 40 caches on it that both of them have done, but I haven't. And I don't mind doing one or two caches on a route that somebody else has, but there's nothing more frustrating than, hey, here's 2 hours of caching and I've got them all.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try. If I do it, I'll go and try and clear out that road so we're a little more back on the level playing field.
There you go. Yeah, that happens.
ProjectGC.com.
Yep.
Yep.
Works wonders. All right, let's see.
And I print out the maps.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's see. Also, please consider becoming a patron to our show. It does cost money to do podcasts like this. And if you can become a contributing factor by going to our Patreon or PayPal on our geocachingpodcast.com website and throw us a couple bucks each month, we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Every penny helps. And for everybody that does that, thank you so much. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Taz, do you got your show notes up?
Yes,
we've got something from the GCPC mailbag. You can send your stuff in to GCPC mailbag at gmail.com, and we will we read them on and we put them on the show just like we're about to. But we love hearing from you fine folks, your adventures, comments about past shows, things that you'd like us to talk about. It's greatly appreciated. It just makes it much more fun for the community as well. So if you would, Taz.
Okay, from Al Van Dyke, a.k.a. Uncle Casher. I don't know if he's related to Dick Van Dyke or not, but I had to say it. Just thought I'd share with you my favorite Muggle story. Two of us were caching a series along a levee on the Ohio River that had a hike and bike trail along the top. As we were hunting one of the containers, a man and a woman, husband and wife maybe, came walking by. The person I was caching with was brand new to caching, so he just continued searching as if they were not even there, totally Muggle unaware. As they approached, the lady asked me what we were doing, probably because I had stopped hunting when I noticed them approaching, waiting for them to pass before I continued my search. Before I could reply, the man with her said, "Oh, they're geocaching. I would like to ask him if he was a cacher or not, and how he if he was not, how he knew about it." But they just kept walking right past me, making it obvious they had no desire to stop and chat. That day, I learned sometimes the best way to deal with Muggles is just to ignore them and plunge ahead.
There you go. Truer words, I'm telling you. Yeah, we actually got several comments. We'll bring another one. We had a good episode last week about talking about Muggles and brought up a bunch of conversations. So we'll bring something else into the GCPC mailbag next week. And if you've got other stuff, by all means, please send it into us. We love hearing from it. Tonight's news actually deals with some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight anyways, so we're going to kind of skip that and jump right into our GCPC episode 497, Geocaching Dashboard and Profile Update. Now, it has been Do you think it's a coincidence that in the past couple of, well, let's just say months, to be nice, that here at the Geocaching Podcast, we have voiced our opinion about geocaching.com and things like, and people have said, you know, be nice, but we had brought up stuff about geocaching.com appearing to be sitting on their laurels, not really updating things, things are just kind of status quo, and now all of a sudden things are coming out of the woodwork like crazy. Coincidence? I think not. I'm just saying. We may have had our small part in this, but it's good to see, and I want to give kudos to geocaching.com for doing the stuff that they've been doing.
Yeah. You try. I think it's good that things are coming out. We're trying. They're trying lots of different things. Some will fly better than others.
Yes.
Well, hey, if we don't know what's happening, we don't have a chance to comment.
Yeah, if they don't do new things, then no new things happen. So this is great.
And send all hate mail for them actually implementing some of these things to Andy.
I can't guarantee the content, just that they're doing it. So, okay.
I suppose
good stuff.
The chat rooms and the Facebook pages will be the prime feedback for user acceptance testing.
I'm sure it is, because geocachers tend to be boisterous when it comes to things like that, and as it should be. Yeah. You know, good, better, and different.
I'm somewhat looking forward to the changes with the profile and dashboard.
Right.
But my question is, did they completely break the ability to have your own specific HTML profile? While and we'll wind up getting into this, while it's a small percentage of people that actually geocachers that actually have it, I think it's a large percentage of the prolific geocachers.
Yes, yes, I
agree. Actually have those pages.
Yeah, and plus the usage for puzzle caches and such would be important. Mm. So, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see, but at least they're doing stuff. So,
do you want me to read it out and tell them what they're doing?
Yes, exactly.
Or people read already?
Exactly. So what we did is we had a bunch of stuff. Last week, we kind of talked over it a little bit last week from the geocaching blog with updates coming to profile and dashboard. So we hit a couple of the things that were in there. What I found interesting was their comments, because it nailed on the head exactly what we had talked about in the past. And I'm not going to dwell into too much of it because I want to get into the goodies, but just their mindset. They're actually saying, this is why we're doing what we're doing. And if you explain to people this is what you're doing, that takes all the mystery out of everything. It explains what's going on, and it puts them on solid ground. So it's like, oh, that's what it is. And it makes it, to me personally, but I imagine to a lot of other people, all you had to say is this, and we would understand. So anyways, what they wrote in the part of the post was, why do we have to change the profile and dashboard pages? And I'm not going to go through all of it, but the main key gist of it, there are two reasons why they had to change the profile and dashboard before implementing more functionality, usability, and technical limitations. And they just kind of break it down to when the dashboard page was created nearly 16 years ago. And that's pretty much the whole internet there, folks. That's just about everything. We didn't have designers lending their expertise on how to best organize the page. That created a corundum when we released new features. Instead of devising an intuitive grouping of themed features, we just added them where we found space, and the page eventually became the junk drawer of geocaching.com. That happens all the time. I mean, that's part of software. As the great thing about making an actual app or web page largely functional is the same problem, is that it becomes largely functional and everything touches everything else. And that becomes a nightmare. Scott would verify this with me as well. For not only development, but also for QA testing, like I do on my end. So yeah.
I think one of the biggest points on there is they said that our primary code base is ancient when it comes to technological standards, and a lot of us at geocaching headquarters refer to it as spaghetti code.
Yes, yes.
Meaning when you touch one piece of it, it will likely break about eight other things.
Yes.
So, and admitting this is
huge, in my book.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's been companies that I've worked for where people had been coding in-house for 30, 40 years with multiple platforms, multiple things, trying to intertwine it all together to work in a modern age, and sometimes you just can't do it. So, I mean, you get to the point where people that wrote the original code and the thinking and the processes behind it aren't there anymore, and they just move on. So there's whole gaps that get involved with spaghetti code, let alone, like Chad said, touch one thing actually touches 12 others, which may touch 12 others, and so on. So it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare.
I'm just wondering if behind the scenes they're moving from a legacy system to a whole new...
Sometimes they have to do just like we had talked about in the past as a suggestion. In many cases like that, it is less effective just dump the whole thing. Start over from scratch. It's easier to build the whole thing from scratch with the functionality you want it to have than try to straighten out the spaghetti code.
Get a test server, start writing it from scratch, build it up to a point where you think you have everything implemented, try it out with some beta users, make sure everything is working, and then port the data over and get rid of the old.
I mean, that's the thing that's going to be the killer for a lot of people. As long as they still have their list of finds, pocket queries will be cool for a lot, useful for a lot of people. I'd hate to see some of the pre-written ones of those go.
Right. But it's
does that, for most people, it's going to be, does that smiley count make sense? Can I find my old logs if I want to?
Right.
If I'm not a GSAC user, can I slice and dice to make sure I qualify, see whether I qualify for that really, really obscure challenge somewhere?
Yep.
Those sort of things.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much involved with it.
Are they trying to Facebookify it, though?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. With the different types of interfaces, if you start from scratch, you can build your interface from scratch. You're not relying on placement and how they have it set up. Because I know back in those days, that was a nightmare, especially when it was web-based for things back then. A lot of times it's just easier to get a group of guys for a year and say, here, just rewrite the whole darn thing and go. So hopefully they're doing something like that. But the part that they found with us is that if you don't tell us what's going on and you put stuff out and pieces are missing and things aren't the same way or even close to what they had, they're going to find out. People are going to tell them. But if you're up front... Oh, yeah. And if they would have said stuff like this back then, that here's our schedule, this is what we're planning on doing, this is why we're doing it, people would have went, oh, okay. But they didn't, and that's, I think, what truly bit them. One of the other things, not only are they changing the profile and stuff, they're also doing stuff on the app as well. What they're saying here is, why are we changing the default display? And I found this interesting. I'll quote what they say here. We learned through data that only 2.4% of active geocachers have anything entered in their custom profile information tab. It makes for an inconsistent experience with most people when most people land on an empty page. The geocaches tab is relevant to everyone who plays the game. We could add an empty state, a bit of information that tells you what is missing out on and how to add content if you currently have none. On the page for those who don't have any content, but all the other code is part of their legacy spaghetti code based, and they're right back in the same problem that they had before. So it's... again, it's a balance for what they need to do, but at least this is the first time I've seen them be straightforward and say, look, here's where we're at. This is why it is. And I give them kudos for that. They should have done it in the first place.
But definitely at least keep it for that 2.4%, which are mostly the very prolific geocachers that are out there, that the ones that are highly active, not just active, but highly active.
Yes.
And because we like our stats and information formatted in the way that we want it.
Right.
I'm sorry, the stat page just doesn't quite cut it.
No, and they admit it too. They realize that it doesn't. Plus, do you remember the old days before they actually bought? What was the name of the company? There was a company out there for your profile, the first one where you could actually fill out all your stats and get all your stuff out, and it would read in your finds and all the rest of that stuff. And I can't remember the company. Geocaching.com actually bought them. And that was what was actually implemented into the profile stuff there. So that was the start of it. But people back in the old day, we used to do that on our own. We would just go out and fill out our stats and do stuff like that through applications that were available. So
yeah,
mygeocachingprofile.com. Thank you, Memphis.
I used to use them back before I started really getting into GSAC, and then I started using the macros within GSAC to generate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm not a GSAC user, so
if you're not into databases,
Look, I spend half my work life swearing at databases. I don't want to do it back on as well.
Yeah. That's all part of it. Now, if people, and that's for the people that work with it. If somebody doesn't know how to do an easy query in SQL, they're going to be, deers in the headlight. You don't want that either. So you want to be able to have them get the information they need without too much muss or fuss to do that. So to each his own. People that get into there, they take like GSAC and write their own machine language for what they want to do for stuff like that. So
I've got friends that are like that. If I really, really need something obscure, I just ask one of my mates how, and they've actually, to be honest, they've probably already written it, but
it's not
my idea of fun.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the – so kudos to geocaching.com for saying, hey, here it is, guys. This is what it is. Now they've got – and they're starting to put stuff out, and it's a lot of good stuff. And, some people might go, meh, whatever. This is huge to me. This is the most changes that I've seen them actively pursue in quite a while. And so some of the stuff that we're going to go over tonight, we're going to have the links in our show notes if you haven't gone over to Geocaching Blog. One of them section.
So, by the way, I just wanted to say that as of sometime in the last few hours,
they have
it active so that you can actually look at the new profile and dashboard. In the About tab, It has the when you're looking at your profile, it has the HTML code that you had in there. So it looks like that will still be there, but you have to go to the About tab.
All right, there you go. Yeah. And a lot of this stuff is brand new, but it's awesome stuff.
I've looked at a few people's comments on, and this is very, very early days, and it ranges from people who seem to really like it, really clear, love it. And other people are far too much white space. Why do I need to see this, that, and the other? I don't need to see everybody else's logs. Why can they see mine? And
there's options.
I must admit, I've looked at it. I've tried it. I've had a look at it. I've tweaked a couple of settings, and I've gone back to the old profile.
All right. And that's, to each his own. Everybody, life's about choices. Yeah. Yeah. But at least it's giving you a choice. And that's I give them for that. So the first part comes out of the blog that's entitled Make Friends with the Updated Profile and Dashboard. Well, again, the links will be in the show note. And the new profile is now available for you to take a look at. Matter of fact, it gives you the option, do you want to see the new profile? And don't worry if you check it. There's an option if you want, like Sarah said, that you can go back to the other one if that's what you prefer. But that doesn't necessarily guarantee how long that's going to be available. So you might eventually have to go to the new one and go that way. But for now, it's giving you the flavor. And the thing that I also give huge kudos for geocaching.com is right in the lower right-hand corner, there is a place for feedback. So this time, it's getting right from the horse's mouth that you can click on and say, hey, there's my likes, here's my dislikes, and go from there. So at least they're looking for people to say,
please listen to the feedback.
Yes, and that's that's the key. I've learned so much how to retain it.
I suppose the other thing is, if you really want your feedback to count, think about
etiquette.
Think about what you say before you write it. Don't just be a keyboard writer warrior and say this is all crap.
Yeah.
If there's something you don't like, say why.
Yes.
Say how it could be better.
Yes.
And that sort of feedback's more likely to be
utilized,
taken on board, and actually actioned, rather than it's crap, I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and be specific.
Saying we should be constructive in our
feedback?
I think you should be targeted in your feedback.
All right. There you go. Fair enough. I couldn't put it any better than that. That's awesome. Yeah. Some of the stuff that's in the actual article about it is. And I like the wording, to build a foundation to better support geocaching friendships on geocaching.com. And I think that's not only between fellow geocachers, but between the fellow geocachers and geocaching.com. We have updated your profile and dashboard, a.k.a. the My Page. This allowed us to add a news feed to your dashboard and that keeps you informed about what your friends are up to. Now, this is going to be Coke or Pepsi, I think. This is going to be, do you like yogurt? Do you not? Either people are going to like it or they're not in this particular case. Sarah obviously doesn't.
No, I'm a bit cherry on what I enable and disable and when and where. Yeah.
But basically,
so I'm not a fan.
Yeah, basically what happens is you have your friends that are on geocaching.com. If they go and
don't have any.
Well, you won't have a problem then. basically, if they go out geocaching and they're friends with you, a little one-line snippet about what they've done comes up in a 2000 Facebook like feed where it's just stacked notices of. This particular geocache found by this particular geocacher. Not all the specifics of it, but just, hey, this, you know, it's just saying, hey, we're out geocaching, what you have to? So it's this standard feed that's there that you can have. You can turn it off, which is brilliant. Thank you, guys. If you don't want it, you can turn it off, and you don't get notifications from everybody else that knows you to whenever they go geocaching.
Sorry about that. The cat decided to bite me for some reason.
That's not good. No. So I think it's interesting. I think they will still have to modify the profile more if they want to get into more of a newsfeed kind of look to things. I think it's still a little bit round, round peg in a square hole kind of feel to it, because geocaching.com is just not made up as a real-time or close to real-time feed type of web page, and they're going to have to do other things to do it, but it's a start. It's let's try to see what's happening. If people like it, great. If people don't, all right, they'll move on to something else. Let's see what other fun stuff that they had on here. You can now see what your geocaching, though. I got that part. Let's see. We want to share with you why we dedicated time to work on this feature. When we go to geocaching events or welcome visitors to Geocaching HQ, it's clear how important friendships are for geocachers all around the world. After taking a closer look at how we support these friendships on geocaching.com, it quickly became apparent that we do not make it easy for geocachers to connect and share adventures with their geo buddies. That's the first time I think I've heard that one. Yes, we have a friends feature, but the friends are hard to find in that to add to keep up with. with, and once you add them, you're left thinking, now what? Knowing the importance of friendship to the game, we want to make it easier for geocaching community to connect. So I think that's awesome. You've got 4 or 5 million people that want to do the same thing. Why not? You know, you've got your friends to hook up with and go with that. So, you know, it's forward thinking as far as I'm concerned. All right. Let's see. The updated profile and dashboard are now available for you to play with. You can opt in while we're tweaking the new page and working to make frequent edits based on your feedback. Or you could stick with the existing profile and dashboard by now. So they're at it. Now, that's that part of it. The other part that's been sent out is core improvements to the geocaching app. And again, we'll have the link in the show notes for that. I pulled right out, and they included the release notes, which I love. As an IT person, this is huge for people to give all the background for that. The latest update to the geocaching app includes improvements to core functionality and an updated app icon. Now I'm dying to remember what they had. Didn't they just have a like one of those location dot things that they had for the logo? It was just one of those markers, the location marker for the logo back then, I think it was. Anyways, they've got the geocaching, the actual geocaching logo up for that now. So that's cool. The 5.3 release includes a new setting screen to set your preferred distance units to imperial or metric. About time, guys.
With a program.
Yeah, I'm just saying, when you got a worldwide game.
Who needs metric? Everything's in the U.S., right?
I'm finding out more stuff on that side of the planet. They use imperial anyway. So it's like, really? Oh, okay. They sit there and make fun of us about not getting into the metric, and they still use imperial. I'm just saying.
I can think in both. I just don't convert to them between them easily.
We can't. It's not in our DNA for Americans. Yeah. We just can't do it. It's not there. And an option, and thank you. You know, not to get in religious, but thank you, Lord, for doing this. They can have
and
the option.
Thanks you and everyone else who actually uses the app.
Oh, my God. The option to turn off the 30-foot warning when approaching a cache. Thank you for turning that off.
Yeah, that was when I gave it a limited trial, and another time I'll give it another go and see if it was just being new and strange that didn't work for me. That 30-foot warning I thought would get very great for newbies, but would get very old very quickly.
Yeah.
So thank you for making that optional rather than compulsory.
I remember the first time we got that, and Amy's literally the first ding. She's like, "What the heck is that?" So yeah. Let's see. Additionally, you can now add personal cache notes in the app and edit personal notes added on geocaching.com. So you like your field notes. Those are good things to have. They can be added offline and are saved with geocache details in offline lists. Personal cache notes are great for jotting down solved puzzle coordinates, details about a hide, or steps for multi-caches.
So, GC.com, if you are listening, can you at least double the size of how much you can save in that field?
Because what roughly
right
do they
now
give
it's woefully inadequate for people like me who like to put all the how did I solve this puzzle information in there. Because, you know, when I go out and find one, someone else is trying to figure it out. It's like, hey, I'm going to ask this guy. He found it before.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't recall. It's like, if I, you know, I like to have it in my field notes in there, and it makes things a lot easier to be able to explain it to people. And
yes.
And with the limited amount of data that you have, characters that you have in there, it's just not quite working.
Do they have the standard 2,000 character text field or?
I'm not sure how many characters it is. Actually, I can probably figure that out. But, yeah, it's definitely limited.
All right. Good thing to know. This was interesting, and I still cannot come up with, maybe the folks in the chat room or the rest of the gang here can figure out. They're now enforcing rules on only one found it, attended, webcam photo taken, or will attend per cache on the app and geocaching.com. Attempts to submit duplicate logs on the geocaching app will automatically change to notes. And they read more, they said read more here, and it's the release notes. We're going to go over that in a minute, but I wanted to go over the discussion. Why? I mean, if I have more than one, it's because I did it accidentally. But there are things in apps that will say if you've got duplicates or not that you can easily remove from. So I don't understand the big push for that. Any thoughts?
Well, I think there's two things. I've got a couple of duplicate logs on mine, and some of those have been where the cache has been relocated so far that it's effectively it's the same name, same right. PC code, but it's a new entirely new location. So, new search, new smiley was my viewpoint on it.
Right.
There were a couple that I've put in by accident, but I know there's one or two cache owners that are really, really pernickety on enforcing one log only, one smiley only.
Right. I just don't understand why it's such a big thing. It can't happen that often. I mean, are there broods of people saying, yeah, my stats are great because, and they're just padded with duplicates? I mean, I don't understand.
Could be armchair caches.
I don't know.
I don't know. If you're having memory loss, I'm a bit facetious, this comment, and you go back and keep refinding the same cache to pad your stats out, or even forget that you've found that one before.
Right. But it's just going to affect your score anyway. So I'd love to find out from somebody from geocaching.com what the thinking is behind that and what related to it. Right out of the release notes, they have also on here, beginning today when logging via geocaching.com, cache owners cannot log a find, a DNF, webcam photo taken, needs archive, or needs maintenance on their owned caches. Event owners can continue to log attended or will attend on their own events. So you can't put needs archived or, well, at least not, well, either needs archive or needs maintenance. What happens if you want to archive your own cache?
There's an archive button, I think.
Yeah, they now have an archive button.
Okay. But you can't do needs maintenance. Because there have been times where somebody has mentioned, okay, your geocache has this particular problem, and they didn't necessarily put a needs maintenance, but the lets you, because you read the log, do it. I don't understand that one either.
Yeah, I've got a friend who uses needs maintenance buttons to sort of, he needs to go and have a look at.
Right. It just notifies the geocacher that, hey, this may have an issue, and don't bother with it right now because it's got this particular problem, or at least be aware of the problem if you're going for it. So they do have a
button underneath it for logging now for tagging it with needs maintenance.
Okay, you just can't do it on your own.
You cannot do it to your own cache.
Right. Okay, interesting. Players cannot log more than one find, attend, webcam photo, or will attend per cache. Players can still change a write note to a find if they have not already logged a find on the cache. So let's see. Players could still change a write note to a find if they have not already logged a find on it. What about people that do travel bug hotels and they want, well, that's what they want to do is write a note. They don't want to put a find on that if you're going back to the same cache. All right, so that's cool.
And it's more useful, and that's really useful for people who are into challenges.
Yeah.
If I'm a couple of hundred miles away from where I live and I'm passing a challenge cache, I'll sign it and right. I'll put a write note on it that I've signed. When and if I ever get round to completing it, then I'll change it to a find.
Right.
Now, there are some caches out there where I've seen the cache owner allow you to log it like a specific challenge. If you've accomplished that challenge multiple times, you're allowed to come back and re-log it every time that you've done that challenge. Or in the case of other ones, it's like you have a low level set of the challenge that you can log it, and then a higher level you get a second logging of it. So I guess all that stuff's out the window.
Yep, that's what it sounds like. By the way, folks, these changes are not retroactive. Past logs are not affected. They put in there, we had originally planned to extend these logged changes to geocaching app and authorize developers' apps today. However, we are delaying that until Monday, May 15th, so we're already there. So, okay, mm-hmm. This is just out of the notes that they had. Today's release also includes, that's right, because this is actually from the 8th. Today's release also includes an update to our API to unify time zone behavior when a cache is logged. Visit date times sent in from mobile and the API are converted from UTC to the time zone of the geocache. This also allows them to be in line with visit dates input on the web, because I know that was a controversy for a bunch of people.
It's an issue for me.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, come on. What time is it for you now?
What time is it? 10, almost 10:30.
7:20 p.m. on May 17th.
Right.
Oh, it's 2:20 p.m. on May the 18th for me.
Yeah, but you're in a time continuum. That's different.
Yeah, but what it means is if I'm going out and finding cases, if I log it on my mobile right now, it'll come up as the 18th.
Right.
Unless I go back and change something. If I don't think, dash back to my laptop, send it in, log it, it defaults to the 17th. Unless I go in and change it.
Okay.
You know, it goes with whatever time it happens to be over your side of the world, or wherever the server happens to be located.
That's fine for us.
I've never run into that problem for some reason.
You need to get out more.
Or at least a little more traveled. Yeah, so that's good, though.
So it does matter for a few of us. I mean, I can also imagine that people, actually, you know, some of the Pacific Islands that are sort of just the other side of the dateline, or even far-flung bits of Alaska might have issues with finding a logging cache and finding it's coming out the day ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, team.
Rather than the day behind.
Yeah, Team Dastardly in the chat room says it affected people trying to get souvenirs. So, yeah, I could definitely see how that's a huge thing for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
I had to go back and change logging dates just to make sure it qualified.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that's good. Let's see. Do. And that's pretty much it that they had on all that. So it's good to see that they're trying to do it. They did ask the question of what's your favorite update in the 5.3 release, and they wanted you to let them know in the comments below. You can do that by going to the link that we have in our show notes and shooting over there, or going to the geocaching blog and finding those particular articles we just talked about. So, yeah, I mean, it's exciting to me that they're actually stepping out and doing stuff. If they continue this on a regular basis, and like Chad said, listen to the feedback, because...
And I checked, by the way, the field notes, a measly 500 characters.
Oh, so it's not even a full note field. It's just an extended text. Okay, gotcha.
I mean...
Come on.
A file, okay, if they're saving these as files, I mean, with the partitioning that you have, you got to imagine a minimum file size is going to be one kilobyte. So you should be able to fit 1,024.
Yeah, exactly. So at least double it. But that's tech speak, so I'm just saying. Yeah, we digress. So I'm sure somebody somewhere is saying, well, this is why we have it. So... it probably goes down to space on the server.
Skitty.
Yes, every little piece happens when you work
legacy code.
Yes.
Have fun.
All part of it. So, yeah, interesting stuff. I give kudos to geocaching.com. And, you know, I'm excited to see the other stuff they have. And yet, we still do not have souvenirs on the geocaching app. Just saying. So there's still a list.
All the coordinates.
And there's things to do. There are things to do, but you are doing it. Please listen to what we say. Not just us.
It's the first. We're all being nice.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all zombies and we'll be replaced by the real host next week.
Where's Scott when we need him? I'm just saying.
Movie house.
Yes, I guess.
Oh, speaking of next week, I'll be on a plane during the show next week, so
and?
I will not be joining.
Aren't tablets allowed now?
Yeah, but the data cost is a little prohibitive.
Oh, come on.
Oh, business or pleasure, just so we can be properly jealous.
Business. Yes. Going to heading to Atlanta for Geo Woodstock. Well, heading to Atlanta
to go like business to me.
To drive up to Asheville for Geo Woodstock.
Yep.
Right. So fortnight's pleasure. Time mega road trip report. I want to hear all this gossip.
Yeah. Really. Man, I can't believe it's coming up to that already. So we'll have to work something out. All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. I hope you fine folks enjoyed all that. And if you've got other comments, questions, please send it to our gcpcmailbag@gmail.com and let us know what you think about the updates and what you still want to have updated. That's always on our list. All right. Good stuff. I want to thank Chad and I want to thank Sarah. And we want to thank you fine folks for stopping on by to see the Geocaching Podcast. I think it's about time to move on here. Here we go. Thank you to subscribing for the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Merks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.